Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Mark. From chapter 10, we'll read verses 17 through 31. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1442. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. John 10, 17. Now, as Jesus was going out on the road, one came running up, knelt before him, and asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to Jesus, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished at Jesus' words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say to Jesus, "See, we've left all and followed you." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, there's no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. An upscale store in Dallas, Texas displays the following sign: "Happiness is expensive." A man came running up to Jesus. He knelt and he asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now, inherit means to receive as a right or a divine portion. And eternal life denotes more than quantity. It signifies quality of life. What must I do to be in the glorious kingdom of God? Well, Jesus asked a faith question. "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." Did the man bow down with faith as to believe that Jesus is God? Well, Jesus acknowledges the man had some faith. "You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." So Jesus points out those commandments, which suggest respect. There's respect for family: do not commit adultery, honor your father and your mother. There's respect for property: do not steal, do not cheat. And there's respect for others: do not murder and do not lie about others. You might remember the children's nursery rhyme, "Little Jack Horner." Little Jack Horner sat in a corner eating his Christmas pie. He stuck in a thumb and pulled out a plum and said, "What a good boy am I. What a good boy am I." This was the sentiment of the one seeking eternal life. "Teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth." No adultery, no murder, no lies, no fraud, not even any teenage rebellion. Still, he wasn't assured of eternal life. He thought, "Good boy, but what does God think?" Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Jesus' next words are spoken with love. Jesus loved him. We should not dismiss those three words lightly. They are a significant part of not only Jesus' words, his next words to the man, but all of his words. And though some sayings are hard to hear, and some of Jesus' words cut to our very core, and they reveal who we really are, Jesus always looks at us and speaks with love. "One thing you lack." One thing you lack. What a relief. One thing. Surely I can do one thing to inherit eternal life, a good life forever. "Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. Eternal life was expensive for the man with many possessions. There was the wealthy man who rose in the congregation to give witness. He attributed his success to God. He says, a young man, he was struggling financially. With faith, he decided to put everything that he had in the offering plate. From that point on, his work became more profitable. As the man sat down, the woman in the pew behind him leaned forward and said, I dare you to do it again. Somehow, the more we have, the harder it is to let go. As the man heard Jesus' words, sell what you have and give to the poor, he became sad. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. One of the aspects of our worship that changed with COVID and social distancing is that we now no longer carry our offering plate from pew to pew, but we place it in the vestibule to make our contribution on our way in. Well, besides the collection plate is a small gold treasure chest where we put our change. All of our change goes to the Society of St. Andrew to feed the hungry. Now, before, when we carried the offering plate around, a child carried the treasure box. And I don't know how well you remember to bring your change now, but when a child held the treasure chest before you, most people remembered to bring their change. Now, sometimes it was Dava's turn to carry the change chest. Sometimes it was Clara or another child. And I'm sorry Clara's not here this morning, because she would enjoy hearing this story about her when she was a kid. Because Clara, she's 10 now, but this was 6 years ago, so she was about 4 years old. And she came up with her daddy, and he was going to carry the offering plate, and she had the change chest. And she had her change purse with her, and so her daddy suggested that she go ahead and put her change in the chest. She hesitated, so daddy helped her by dumping the change in. As it's clanging in, Clara said, Daddy, not all of it, not all of it. Her daddy showed her, I didn't put it all. Well, they received the collection and they placed it on the communion table. As they were returning to their pew, we were singing the doxology, Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Well, Clara comes running up to the altar. She opens the box and she drops in her last coins. Before our very eyes, a heart is transformed. I wonder, maybe the sad, the sorrowful, dejected man who walked away from Jesus, maybe later he had a change of heart. Even if it didn't happen in under just a minute, maybe it came later. Maybe when he heard the story of the one who said, sell what you have and give to the poor and take up the cross and follow me, you'll have treasure in heaven. Maybe when he saw that Jesus gave his all, he held nothing back. He surrendered all that he had, and he went to the cross for our sins, not for an earthly treasure, but for a treasure in heaven. When the man walked away, Jesus looked around, and he exclaimed to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were astonished. They, and often we do it still now, we will equate a person who is doing well with God is blessing them. We assume that God is blessing them because of their faith. Surely they are the ones that are closest to the kingdom of God. So Jesus said it again, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, the phrase, easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, was a Jewish expression for the impossible. You may have heard an illustration, as I have, that some proposed at one time there was a very small gate in the ancient wall of Jerusalem called the needle's eye. In order for a camel to go through it, they surmised that the animal would have to be completely unloaded and then crawl through on its knees. Well, in his commentary on this same verse in Matthew, John MacArthur notes that though it's a great illustration, there was no gate mentioned in Jewish history or discovered in archaeological records. The disciples understood Jesus to mean it's impossible. It's not just challenging, it's impossible for you to do it yourself. Again, the disciples were astonished, saying among themselves, well, who then can be saved? If it's not the rich who are being blessed by God, if it's not the rich who have more money to put in the offering plate, if it's not they that are in the kingdom of God, do the rest of us even stand a chance? So Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." It's not money that saves us. It's not money that keeps us out. It's putting our faith in our possessions that hinders us. When we have what we need, sometimes we become secure in ourselves. We don't need God. Often, natural disasters, wars, or other events remind us that any of us can lose all of our possessions. This happened for many during Hurricane Helene. There are countless stories about people they're sharing how they lost all or they nearly lost all. And some have shared how their life and their recovery depends upon God. For some of us, it may not be that one thing we lack is giving our money. It may be something else that we're clutching as if our life depends upon it. I read an interesting article that the Methodist Foundation linked in an email. The article was from Christianity Today from September the 6th, 2024. It was by Donald Sweeting, a chancellor of Colorado Christian University. Now, some of us may not be the targeted audience, but many of us are here in this age bracket. So the title of the article is, "Boomers Serve Like Your Whole Life Is Ahead of You." What will our generation do with the increased life expectancy that God has blessed us with? Donald Sweeting writes, "Not long ago, I visited my 99-year-old father and 97-year-old mother. My dad had just passed his driver's test again, and the year before, he published yet another book, and he plans to take up painting again. With a mischievous look in his eye, my dad turned to me, a 60-something baby boomer, and said, 'Son, what are you going to do with yourself? You've got your whole life ahead of you.' Between 1900 and 2010, life expectancy in the U.S. increased from 47.3 years to 78.7 years. Some of us have passed that 78 and continuing on. U.S. hospitals and universities are now referring to the 65 plus life stage as the period of late adulthood, which is divided into three stages. Yeah, the young old, this is 65 to 84, and then there's the oldest old, 85 to 99, and the centurions, 100 plus. The young old stage, that age from 65 to 84, is considered the golden years of adulthood, with fewer responsibilities, relatively good health, and meaningful social engagement. And Helen, you were like the poster child for it at that apple butter frolic. Now, certainly, there are some of us who have better health than others, and there's some with fewer responsibilities than others. However, the question is a great one for all ages when we make it personal. What will I do with the increased life expectancy God has blessed me with? Last Sunday afternoon at Asbury United Methodist Church, with a covenant service and a celebration, we received assignment of Bishop Jonathan Holston to our North Alabama Conference. During the worship, Bishop Holston preached a powerful message on failure is not an option. Bishop Holston is a powerful preacher, so I cannot emulate his message, but I will share a portion that inspired me. The scripture text was Matthew 14, 13 through 21. This is the story of the disciples. They wanted to send the crowd away to buy their own food because the hour was late. But Jesus countered, "They don't need to go away. You feed them." Well, the disciples just kind of stammer out their scarcity. We have here 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus said, "Bring them to me." And Jesus commanded the multitude to sit down. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples. And they passed it out to the multitude. 5,000 men plus women and children all ate until they were filled, and they had 12 basketfuls left over. Rather than emphasize our limitations, our weaknesses, be it our size, our age, our money, our time, we give it to God. God blesses it and gives it back to us to serve. It's not our limitations, but it's God's limitless possibilities. Sometimes we give to God out of our abundant blessings. We get rid of those things that are hindering us from God. Sometimes we give out of our limitations. Rather than saying, "I have only," we give what we have. We have faith in God's desire and ability to make the impossible possible. It's often said at the foot of the cross, we're all equal. It doesn't matter whether we have earthly riches or we have an empty purse. None of us will be saved without faith in God through Jesus Christ. We need to have that transforming moment when we open our purse or our hand that we're clutching so tight. We need to have that transforming moment when we go from shouting, "Don't put it all in," to turning to Jesus, running to Jesus, not only to give all that we have, but more importantly, to give our heart. Faith and trust that what we have not seen is possible. It's hope in God that God's promises will be fulfilled. Jesus says that whatever we give on earth will be returned to us 100-fold in God's kingdom of eternal life. Let us pray. Gracious God, grant us the faith to believe that with you all things are possible. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.